Thank you all very much. We had a really, really interesting workshop yesterday, public-private partnerships, encountering THB financing and the role of financial institutions and technological tools to assist them in identifying THB risks. And it was a small group, but a really, really informative discussion. So we held it more as a round table, which was great, and lots of really good contributions from all of those who attended, which is brilliant. So what did we cover? I think first we looked at what is a PPP and what's the value that public-private partnerships can drive. So we talked about how public-private partnerships are really a bringing together of law enforcement and the financial institutions, so the public sector and the private sector, for that sharing of critical information. So typically they work very well, both sharing public sector information, so with law enforcement sharing key threats and risks, so specifically in this case around trafficking of human beings, and what's happening on the ground from a sort of criminal conviction perspective, as well as the different sort of crime gangs and threats coming into that specific country. So they're very useful as a way for the public sector to share information and awareness with the private sector, both in terms of key threats, crime data, but also we heard sometimes it's not just sharing information, it's requesting information. So we heard from a prosecutor around the table that often there are orders for information. So requests, or not requests, but orders coming from law enforcement to the financial institutions to get data on specific individuals or crime gangs. The other side of the coin that we discussed was around the information that financial institutions and the private sector can provide back to the public sector as well. So both in terms of sort of suspicious transactions, but also more importantly on sort of financial intelligence and trends. And I think Mikhail Nagel from Western Union gave a really, really fascinating example of how Western Union have been able to use sort of data analytics through their Child Rescue Coalition program to analyze millions and millions of IP addresses of potential child sexual abusers and whittle that down with the data they hold on different clients and different transactions so that actually they can get to the sort of top 2% or the most likely perpetrators of child sexual abuse. So again, a really, really interesting example, I think, of how the financial sector can provide really, really important data back to the public sector on different crime types. We then looked at a couple of examples of successful PPPs. So we took a case study of the UK. So this is an example where the UK PPP, the UK Modern Slavery TDG, has come together with 700 financial institutions in the UK to really understand sort of what's happening from a THB perspective in the country, but also then design and drive a free digital training course that is going out to all 70,000 financial institutions in the UK. So this is again a government-sponsored initiative to make sure that every financial institution in the UK has the same level of information and awareness about modern slavery and human trafficking, and the same access to different tools and resources. This is a free course, so I would encourage everyone to take it if you can. There's a nice little postcard, it's a quick plug for that little postcard up on the thing. You can take it and share it with all of your teams. That would be really, really appreciated. Laura von Plutz from Commerzbank then gave a really good example of Australian PPP. So we looked at uh, we looked at how OSTRAC, FinTel Alliance, had really worked on a key project looking at combating child sexual exploitation. And so we looked at the steps they went through and then what that means for financial institutions taking that information and that data. So that's really, really important as well. So again, sort of a live case study of how beneficial some of these PPP sort of projects and initiatives can be back in to the financial sector. And then we didn't quite get round to finishing the discussion, such was the sort of wealth of discussion we had, but we were due to look at different tools the public sector and the private sector can use to detect potential instances of THB. So that includes both sort of screening tools, where you can screen client suppliers against dedicated lists of convicted traffickers, and you can sort of map out not just the traffickers themselves, but their whole sort of gang in operation, which is really, really important from a diligence perspective. But also then the sort of digital risk assessments that you can use to challenge other suppliers or third parties to make sure they also have the right THB controls in place as well. And then finally, just touched on a kind of central hub of information, so the anti-slavery hub. Again, this is a UK PPP initiative bringing together libraries of legislation, regulation, and key guidance documents, as well as multitude of different training initiatives, systems, tools, and resources that are available for both the public and private sectors as well. And again, sort of anyone can access that there as well. So I think that covers our discussion that we had. It was a really, really valuable discussion, and we could have gone on for another couple of hours. So thank you to all of those who attended that roundtable.
Thank you, Dickon. Can we now have the Law Enforcement, Judicial, and FIU Corporation?
Hi. For those who doesn't know me yet, my name is Natalia Behringer. I am a prosecutor in Lübeck, Germany. That is a small city close to Hamburg. And yeah, I was lucky to be in the workshop with Diana, Georgia, and also with Joske. I think she's not here.
She's there.
Oh, she's there. Hi, Joske. Sorry.
She's hidden.
So yes, we hit this topic: law enforcement, judicial and FIU cooperation in the THB financial investigations from a more practical point. So our task was to solve a case, and the point was like to develop an investigational strategy and divide the strategy in three different topics. The one was the operational route, the international cooperation, and the financial investigations. The case was about related to THB and smuggling people from Libya to the island of
Lampedusa.
Sorry. And yes, we were talking first about the operational route. What can we do? We had a lot of leads, four leads that were given to us so we can solve the case. And we were talking about wiretaping phones, getting geodata, checking bank accounts, confiscate phones, search the private addresses. And yes, we were also talking about financial investigations, especially about following the money, where we know bank accounts or some financial data where we could, do some investigation on following the money. And the last part was the international cooperation. So we talked about EIOs, we talked about how we can cooperate with other countries to get the data we need to solve our case. That's it.
Good morning, everyone. I didn't expect to address you today again, but here I am. So our group was quite large. It was 11 people of quite various backgrounds. We had seven countries represented, so that was quite an interesting experience. Actually, it was part of the exercise to have as many people from different jurisdictions as possible, because the purpose of the exercise that Slavomir and George made up was actually a mock-up session of a GIT discussion. We were separated, obviously, in fake teams representing North Macedonia, Sweden, and Romania. And, of course, our hosts were representing Europol and Eurojust, which were actually the hosts of this mock-up meeting that our teams have had. We were faced with a case of a alleged trafficker, a North Macedonian person who was receiving vast amounts of money and sending them out to our states and our persons. We had very little information about the case. The first part of the exercise was actually to understand what was going on. Was there an offence at all? What kind of an offence was it? Identifying the elements, so on and so forth. And naturally, at the meeting itself, we needed to evaluate what kind of investigation and what kind of intelligence we needed in order to resolve our case and to define whether we needed to set up a JIT or whether we might and we will need to go through the regime of the 1959 convention, since North Macedonia is a non-EU country. At the end of the day, our time went short, so the session was, we needed more time to actually perform all the investigative actions, but it was an awarding experience, especially because we had predominant group of prosecutors in the room, only three judges. It was a rewarding experience to exchange roles and to see the perspective of other colleagues.
Hello, my name is Juan Darigo. I am public prosecutor in the prosecutor office in Algeciras. Yesterday in the workshop we were talking about the confiscation, about confiscation uses, and the way of compensating the victims of human trafficking. Well, the reflection that were put on the table mainly was that, as my fellow of Montenegro, Soran, said, the first problem about confiscating was that it requires economic investment, and economic issues is one of the main topics that we talk about. It was a great experience because I listened the opinion of firstly a German journalist who talked about the organization which were making a comparison about the different legislation across Europe, and she pointed out that there were two kinds of compensation to victims. The non-material damage, such as psychological damage or the trauma that this horrific and awful situation usually carry with them, and second, the material compensation. So, but the first, as I said before, the problem that this carry on is that the confiscation is regulated in the European regulation number 14, 41, 12, and it touched and it literally said that a kind of proceeds, effects, and instrument will be destined to the compensation to victims. It is not carried on by domestic governments in a very good way. Almost in Spain, we are having a lot of problem with the confiscation of proceeds, effects, and instrument of the crime. And secondly, the second part of the workshop was about talking about a particular case. It was about a girl, Anna, who was trafficked by her boyfriend. And we divided the groups in police, victim assistant, judge, and the prosecutor. And we talk about the what measures should we take upon this specific case. I want to say thank you to our two coordinators, especially Natalia, who today has found me because I was lost. He has shown the police skills. and that is all. Thank you very much.
You.